The Takeaway is supported by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting and by the John S. and James L. Knight Foundation, advancing journalistic excellence in the digital age. More information about the Foundation's digital initiatives at knightfoundation.org.
Well, we've talked a lot about the uneasy relationship with between Pakistan and the U.S. on The Takeaway. Obviously, there's a lot of anti-American feelings, despite the fact that the U.S. sends billions of dollars in aid to that country. And we've also talked about flood relief, how much the United States is doing, and whether that's changing attitudes. Yesterday, we checked in with Ali Makbul. He's reporting for us and for our partner, the BBC, as he journeys down the Indus River. And in a moment, we're going to get an official view of the changing relationship between the U.S. and Pakistan. But first, let's take a listen to Ali, check back him within with him in his latest report from Pakistan.
Along our trip so far, we've seen lots of groups trying to fill the void when government aid can't be handed out, including Islamist groups, some of them linked to banned groups. And a lot of people are very worried that they are making gains in terms of winning over hearts and minds at a time like this. And also we've found, particularly in the Swat Valley, a lot of people telling us that where they had been anti-American before a lot of this, now that the American soldiers are involved, particularly in Swat, in ferrying people by helicopter backwards and forwards, their feelings about the Americans have changed very much for the better.
Join us now, Dan Feldman. He's America's deputy special representative for Afghanistan and Pakistan and works closely with Ambassador Holbrooke. Good morning.
Good morning.
So I read this interesting piece from the Brookings Institution suggesting that perhaps the flood relief model is the model that the United States should use going forward in all of our relationships with Pakistan. What's your response to that?
Well, first of all, I think the most important thing is that we are focused really just on the humanitarian crisis currently, which is really, as you noted in your opening, quite epic in its devastation. 20 million people impacted at this point, millions of homeless, and a territory impacted the size of Italy. So the what needs to be done immediately is still quite critical. We are starting to turn the corner, though, now as the waters are just finally starting to recede and moving from what we've called this relief period to the recovery and reconstruction period. The relief period is where almost all of U.S. government money has been focused to date and assistance. This includes all the military helicopters that have evacuated, as you noted, over 13,000 people. Many of them in the Swat Valley have delivered over 5 million pounds of food. And of the $260 million or so dollars that the U.S. government has committed thus far, the vast majority of that has gone towards relief. It's the recovery and reconstruction phases that we're just starting to enter, and the reconstruction will be in the billions and billions of dollars.
Well, let me ask you. I mean, yeah. Ali Makbul has been reporting as he journeys down the Indus. He's talked about places where he's seen some banned Islamist groups moving in and bringing aid to people. People who say they don't really care who's bringing the aid. They just are desperate to get food and clean water. Does this concern you to see these militant groups moving in to bring relief?
Yeah, we actually think that many of those accounts have been pretty overstated. There's a huge amount of money coming in right now from the U.S. and from the rest of the international community. Over $800 million has been pledged by the international community altogether. The vast majority of that is going through international NGOs, domestic NGOs, UN agencies, and there's a very, very vibrant civil society in Pakistan, very credible, long-standing domestic NGOs, which are operating very well. Look, you've got 20 million people impacted, so is the opportunity there for a number of groups to take advantage of this, including some extremist Islamic groups? Yes, but we haven't actually seen that play out as much. They've obviously said that they've been more involved than we actually think they have been, but we think a lot of that is rhetoric, and we've seen really, really great work by the Pakistani domestic NGOs as well as the funding by the international community.
Dan Feldman, can I suggest a kind of cost-benefit analysis of what's going on here in the U.S.-Pakistan relationship, if you don't mind?
Sure.
We've got an investment of a few hundred million in the relief effort, right? That has paid off extraordinarily in terms of a warmth in U.S.-Pakistani relations and in terms of the Pakistanis seeing the money being spent. It certainly argues that some of these billions in security aid is wasted.
I think we're conflating two separate things. This was the point I was getting to as we get into the recovery and reconstruction needs. These are going to be in the billions of dollars, and this is where we've actually started laying the framework for this over the course of the last 18 months since the beginning of this administration, and where we will go in terms of providing benefits to the flood victims is already very much in line with the thinking and planning that we've been doing in conjunction with the Pakistani government. So most critically, when Congress passed the Kerry Lugar-Berman legislation last year authorizing $1.5 billion in assistance to Pakistan for each of the next 5 years, we are just starting to spend some of that money. And when Secretary Clinton has been out there the last two times over the last year, she has announced some initial projects in key sectors, hospital refurbishment, dam and energy refurbishment, water needs, agricultural needs. All of these obviously are even more critical now after the floods. And so as we try to redirect some of that money to both these main, these large sectors, as well as meeting the needs of flood victims as soon as possible, I think you'll see a convergence of the relief efforts as they turn into recovery and reconstruction and our longer-term partnership with Pakistan.
Well, I imagine that Dan Feldman will be thinking not just about Pakistan but Afghanistan this week, as well as Afghanistan heads into parliamentary elections over the weekend. So thank you for joining us, Dan.
Sure.
Dan Feldman is America's Deputy Special Representative to Afghanistan and Pakistan. And let's check back in again with the BBC's Ali Makbul. So far, he's given us some pretty vivid pictures of what life is like near to the Indus River. And this morning, he's actually on the river.
Well, the litter left hanging in the trees gives you some indication of how high the river got. This is the Indus that we're on, the body of water that flows the length of Pakistan and whose path we're following this week. It looks very calm now, but just 6 weeks ago, it was a raging torrent that destroyed so much on either side of it. Now, I'm on this boat with Nasir and his son Jahangir. They own this boat, and they also own a house just on one of the banks here in the village of Mari. But just like so many places we've already seen on our journey, that village was pretty much destroyed. Their house is just on this bank over here and has been reduced to just rubble. There are some buildings that have just about survived, but theirs has disappeared completely. Now, what Nasir has told us is that there has been some aid come their way in the form of food, but no money so they can rebuild their house. But he also says that he feels very lucky, especially when he considers that there are many in this village and many more that we've already heard from who've had no help at all as yet.
Ali Makbul in Pakistan reporting for us and for our partner, the BBC.